The title of my sermon today is Shine in 2019. Shine in 2019. We're going to be turning to the book of Matthew in just a moment, where Jesus is giving a sermon on the mount. And in the beginning of it, near the beginning of it, he tells us that we're to let our light shine because we are the light of the world. And we're going to talk about some things today that I think will encourage us, but also challenge us. So let's pray that we can get our hearts ready and that the Spirit of God can move us closer to being like Jesus. Our God, Father in heaven, thank you for today. Thank you for opening the doors for us to be here. Thank you even more for opening the doors for us to know you and to have the gift of salvation. Help us, God, to strive to be the very best we can for your glory. Bless our time together today. Speak to our hearts. Move us that we could give you greater honor. Thank you for Jesus. We pray in his name. Amen. In Matthew 5, in verse 14, Jesus says, "You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and give glory, give praise to your Father in heaven." God is glorified through his creation. And our purpose in life, if you've ever wondered why you're on this planet, the reason we exist is to give glory to God. It's not about our own selfish accomplishments, or just about the families we want to raise, or the careers that we want to attain. You are put here for God's glory, for your life to give God praise. And God is never happier or more pleased than when we live lives imitating his Son that give praise and honor to him. The other day when I was, I guess yesterday, when I was at the EDS leaders planning workshop, Nicole showed me a video of her husband Bean being given an honor at his workplace. Now, we call him Bean, but nobody at his job calls him Bean. He's a Lumadec, Tawalawi. And there he was, standing up on the stage between, I guess, these other two high-up officials at his job. And a big sign was up there, lab supervisor one or whatever. And then it says, "Exemplifies leadership." And if you want to see the video, Nicole will be happy to share it with you. But all I could think is, his light is shining and he's giving glory to God and he's being honored on his job. And praise God, that man is a disciple of Jesus Christ. That's what it means to let your light shine. And all over the city and all over the world, God wants us to do great things to his glory, so people can say, yes, that individual is a disciple of Jesus. And the reason that they're excellent in what they do is because they serve a higher power, because they're motivated by a greater love, because they see the invisible God and that they're striving to be their very best for him. We're going to look at a very practical scripture today on letting our light shine. Turn with me over to Ephesians chapter 4. In Ephesians chapter 4, and beginning at verse 29, I want today's lesson to be something that you can apply to your everyday life. In Ephesians 4, Paul is, in all of his letters, trying to help God's people to understand how they ought to conduct themselves in the household of God. So many of his letters are written giving them specific instructions on this is how you be a Christian. This is how you be a husband. This is how you be a wife. This is how children ought to conduct themselves in the household. This is how you should be on your job. This is how you should deal with the world when it persecutes you. And over and over and over again, we're given these instructions, and we see even in some letters, the same instructions are given time and time again. And here in Ephesians chapter 4, again, he's helping the church in Ephesus to understand this is what it means to be a true disciple and to let your light shine as a servant of God. So in Ephesians 4, verse 29, he says, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen." And the church said, it's time for repentance. "And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But among you, there must not even be a hint of sexual immorality, or of any kind of impurity or greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, greedy person, such a man as an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them, for it is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, for it is the light that makes everything visible. This is why it is said, 'Wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you.'" So let's talk about letting our light shine. And to me, the scripture that stands out here is Ephesians 5 and verse 1. But Paul just simply says, be imitators of God. If you want your light to shine, which it should as a disciple, imitate God. Imitate Jesus. If we do that every day and everywhere we go, our lights will shine. Now, that's a high calling. But that's what we're called to. You know, last week, TJ said that none of us are perfect. And he's right. But we are to strive for perfection. Saying I'm not perfect is not an excuse to sin. We're to imitate God. You know, when I think about imitating God, I think of two scriptures. They're both found in 1 John. The first one is 1 John 1:5. 1 John 1:5, which says, "This is the message that we have heard from him and declare to you, God is light. In him there is no darkness at all." We're to imitate God. God is light. God is holy. There is no darkness in him at all. And our lights shine when we strive to live a holy life, which we'll talk about more in a minute, and to get rid of all the darkness, to let no darkness in. And then the other scripture I think about is 1 John 4:16. 1 John 4:16, which says, so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. So here in 1 John, John just makes it very clear to us. Number one, God is light. Imitate him. And him there is no darkness at all. And then secondly, God is love. And whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. So let's talk about living this life of love. If you want your light to shine, decide to live a life of love. Don't be selfish. Don't be inward. But think about how to give, how to love others, and your light will shine. He told us in Ephesians 4:29, he says, don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths. No, when you love people, you build them up. You think of ways to encourage, not to tear down. It says, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths. He goes on and says, get rid of all bitterness. You can't love and be bitter at the same time. It's impossible. And yet, sometimes we get hurt, we get disappointed, our dreams get shattered, and we become bitter. And sometimes we feel like we're justified in our bitterness because we've been done wrong. But your light is not shining when you dwell in bitterness. Your light shines that even though you've been done wrong, you still fill your heart with appreciation for your salvation and continue to do what is right and love even though people may not have loved you. That's when your light shines. He goes on, he says, get rid of all rage and anger. He said even earlier, in your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you're still angry. Now, I know we're all good Christian people. And we don't get angry. But for the one or two of us that does from time to time. Or maybe a loved one may get on our nerves or a co-worker or even someone driving down the highway in this not so pleasant weather. He says, get rid of it. Sometimes we feel justified in our anger. And sometimes we even have the reputation of being short-tempered. That's not love. Your light's not shining when people are afraid to talk to you, thinking that you might blow up. That's not the spirit of Christ. So get rid of it. He goes on, he says, get rid of all brawling and slander. You know, I had to look up brawling because I don't think Christians should be involved in brawling. But brawling, it's another word for it is clamor. It's like when you hear people in your neighborhood or in the apartment down the hall or whatever, and they're in loud confrontation. That shouldn't be the Christian's household. But it happens. He says, get rid of that. Get rid of slander. He goes on and says, be kind and compassionate to one another. And I know I shouldn't have to say this, but let me say it to the church, and I'm going to say it as loud as I possibly can. Be kind. That's how your light shines. Think of things you can do. Acts of kindness to encourage and build people up. Be compassionate toward one another. That's loving others. And then he says, forgive each other just as Christ forgave you. There is never an excuse for not forgiving. You may not have the same relationship with someone after they've broken faith or sinned against you, but you cannot refuse to forgive them from the heart. Because if you don't forgive, God won't forgive you. And, you know, when we first come into church, we're so naive and really pure-hearted that we never think we would ever have to forgive anyone. I'm a Christian. I'm in the kingdom with all these other wonderful, godly, spiritual, spirit-filled people. Well, I got news for you. You are sitting next to a sinner who could hurt you. And the test of your love is, will you forgive? Will you let it go? And will you not ever bring it up again? Let me say that again. Forgive and let it go. Now, we can't, and I think I was in a, I don't know who I was talking to about this, but we're talking about forgiving and forgetting, and that God just lets things go and forgets it and moves on. We can't forget, but that's even a higher call to forgive when you still remember and yet know you still need to love. You may not ever forget. That means that you got to dig deeper in your faith and draw closer to Jesus to really forgive. So be loving in church. Some of us, we come in and we're such loners. We do everything by ourselves. We take our little, what was that thing we ate this morning? A little cube thing and our little juice, and it's just us. We come by ourselves and we leave by ourselves, and you're supposed to be a part of the church. The whole week we reach out to no one. We encourage no one. Be loving in the church. Now sometimes we think, well, I'd love if they'd love me. That's not what it says. We love because he first loved us. If you want to be loved, you give love. And whether you get it in return or not, your light shines when you love, even when you're not loved. Be loving at church. Be loving at home. Sometimes we can be spiritual giants, it seems, in the church. But when we get home, oh Lord, we're transformed. The real test of your Christianity is not what you do here. When you're singing Men Who Dream, your wife wants to know, will you be a man who cleans? Will you be a man who serves? Will you be a man who forgives? Will you be a man who takes out the garbage? Will you be a man who says, I'm sorry, at home? Isn't that the true test of our faith? Isn't that what our kids are watching? They're not watching. They know what we are here. Are we a real Christian at home? And don't tell me that you always want to do everything that everybody in your house asks you to do. I know I don't. My wife asks me to do things all the time I don't want to do. But in love, I go ahead and do it. And she gets on and says, you're always saying no, but then you go ahead and do it. Because that's the sinner part of me that's fighting the spiritual part of me. The sinner says no, and then the saved person says, what are you talking about? You know you're going to do it. Be loving on the job. I'm not talking about going around hugging and kissing everybody on the job, but I'm saying at least people on your job should learn, notice something different about you. You know, there's a young man who was baptized in the Bronx this past year who watched our daughter, Christina, for 5 years. He watched her. And, you know, he had a little interest there, and he reached out, and obviously being a true disciple, she told him, no way. You're not saved. You're not a Christian. He understood the facts, but he kept watching. Because you know how I can be on the job, the gossip, the backbiting, all that, the jockeying for position. And after 5 years, he came to church. And he studied the Bible, and he became a disciple. Just watching. Somebody's watching you on the job. And there you are proclaiming Jesus, and they know if you got a bad attitude. They know if you come in late and leaving early. They know if you got an attitude toward the boss. Is your light shining on the job? Is your light shining at school? Oh, college students and high schools, I've forgotten you. Is your light shining at school? Or are you getting it done? Are you working on that GPA? Are you planning to graduate? Cum laude, summa cum laude. instead of just thank you, Lordy. Let your light shine. Let's be loving. Start today, right? Start today. Reaching out, encouraging, building up, letting your light shine, and do it for His glory. Secondly, a life of love, then a life of holiness. A life of holiness. The Bible says God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. And Paul says to the Ephesians here, as well as to us, in verse 3 says, but among you there must not even be a hint of sexual immorality, or of any kind of impurity, or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For if this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, greedy person, such a man as an idolater, has any inheritance into the kingdom of Christ and of God. Now, in the religious world today, these things are not even considered sin anymore. I mean, Christianity has gotten so watered down, it's like you can't miss heaven even if you tried. You're going to get in, and if you don't even want to go, you're going to go. That's how watered down it is. But I'm here to tell you today that God's standard has not changed. That what He called the people of the first century to live by is a standard, so He calls us to today. No, we're not judgmental, we're not self-righteous, but we cannot compromise the standard of God. We can't do that and have our light shine. And that goes for everybody in this room. Ephesians 5 verse 3, I love the way that English Standard Version puts it. It says, but sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you as is proper among saints. Shouldn't even be named. In other words, if it comes up, we should be going, what? What you talking about? That didn't happen here. God's Word translation says, don't let sexual sin, perversion of any kind, or greed even be mentioned among you. Shouldn't be mentioned. And no, the church has never been perfect. Read your Bible. But there were times when I think we held the standard a little bit higher. Where divorce was not mentioned among us. But it is now. Because people have taken it upon themselves to think that they can have a standard of their own. And there was a time when some of these things weren't mentioned as much as they're mentioned now. Sexual immorality, adultery, pornography, greed, coarse joking. In other words, we should be appalled when these things happen, and it shouldn't just be, oh, it happened again. No. Remember, we're trying to let our light shine. We're giving honor to the King. We represent Jesus. But I love this part where he goes on. He adds this little, three little words here. He says, but rather thanksgiving. Says these things shouldn't be there, but rather thanksgiving. You see, ingratitude, entitlement, and arrogance lead to sin. Gratitude keeps you out of sin. You know what I mean? When you're grateful for what you got, you're not going to give it away or jeopardize it by getting involved in something that could take it away from you. You know, I've been married to Cynthia for 37 years. And we've had our ups and downs, but lately it's just been all ups. But man, I'm grateful. I've got a beautiful wife who loves Jesus and who loves me. I'm not, give that to who? Jezebel? Are you crazy? And if I did, some of you would go, man, did he lose his mind? Cynthia? And I hope you feel the same way about your wife. And if you don't, you better stop. Man, I'm not giving up what we have. I mean, she's good to me. We like two old shoes, man. I'm not starting over with some young girl. Man, they don't even know the name of my blood pressure medicine. You better love the one you with. Talking about you want a young girl. Look at you, your bald head self. What's wrong with you? Can't even have a same conversation with somebody from 3 decades ago. I'm thankful. I'm thankful. And so I'm going to keep walking in the light. I love God. I want to give honor to God. And Lord, I don't want to see the wrath of Cynthia. I'm being honest. But I got something good going on. And if you are in the kingdom of God, whether you're married or single, you're better off than you ever were in the world. And you need to keep walking in the light. There's no room for compromise here. No room for compromise here. And some of you don't even know what God has saved you from. Because you're a disciple of Jesus. And I know sometimes we struggle with it. And if I only had that. Look, man, when you get to heaven, you're not going to be thinking about God. And married people will tell you, if they're really honest, that marriage is not easy. And that if you're not happy before you get married, you're not going to be happy after you get married. If you're looking for some man to fill the void in your life, let me tell you what, we just can't do it. We ain't that good. You're going to be disappointed. Some girls wish they stayed single, trying to get some man to be their God. Trying to get some woman to be your God. Are you crazy? They can't be your God. Only God can be your God. And you need to stay close to Him and give your life to Him. And I think if you give your life to Him, He might bless you with something else. But whether He does or not, you keep letting your light shine to God's glory. And He goes on as we begin to wrap this up. He says, for you were once darkness, but now you're light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And let's hold on to that word truth, because there's no greater darkness than being a liar, than being deceitful, than living a double life. You walk in the light. You keep going, traveling closer and closer to God. You walk in the light as He is in the light. And He'll continue to forgive all your sins. You don't walk in darkness. So don't be living a double life. And if you're living a double life, you come clean today. Because your sin will find you out. He goes on, he says, have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. If you keep living in the light, you will expose the darkness. For it is shameful to mention even what the disobedient do in secret, but everything exposed by the light becomes visible, for it is the light that makes everything visible. This is why it is said, wake up, O sleeper, and Christ will shine on you. Let your light shine. 2019, take your personal righteousness to another level, and I know we all can grow in this. I'm not asking you to have somebody police you. We don't need church police. But we do need to keep our eyes on God. And we need to make sure that the Christians that we claim to be here in public, that we're the same Christian in private. Let your light shine wherever you go. You know, when your light's shining, God will open doors. I was in Florida 2 days ago. 2 days ago, Cynthia and I were in Florida. Man, not only was our light shining, but the sun was shining. And Kosi, my son-in-law, was telling me about his boss that had a death in his family, going through a difficult time. And I don't know what spurred him on to do this, but he was walking with his boss and he said, "Well, would you like to pray together?" This is his boss now. And his boss said, "Yeah, sure." And of course, Kosi did all the praying. The boss didn't pray. But his light is shining on his job. And there are people who've never had anybody pray with them. And this is what we need to be doing. And we do it because we honor him. Not because we think, "Well, if I do this, this might lead to that." No, you just walk in the light. And you let God open and close the doors he wants to close. So you got to let your light shine. I want you to take your light out. Turn your light on, church. Turn your light on. You got your light. Come on. Take your light out. We're going to close this sermon out. "This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine." All right, come on, church. "This little light of mine, shine it on somebody. I'm going to let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine." All right, one more time now. Everywhere I go, hey, come on now. "Everywhere I go, yeah, I'm gonna let it shine. Everywhere I go, I'm gonna let it shine." All right now. "Everywhere I go, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine." Oh, amen.